All right.
Okay. Hello. Okay. Ooh.
I need to watch Mickey's Christmas Carol. So yes, last night I did a double feature of Die Hard and It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh. That sounds like an SNL bit where it'd be like Jimmy Stewart in Die Hard.
I want to see that, but I don't.
Oh, how about we go to the double Jeopardy where the scores can really change?
Well, if we're casting it back that far, that means we have to recast the entire thing of time-appropriate actors. Who's Hans Gruber of that era?
80s action movie quips Jimmy Stewart.
Well, it's just the guy who played Mr. Potter.
Yeah.
Then you got like Deborah Carr as the as Holly. You've got the guy who played Uncle Billy as Reginald Bell Johnson, the cop.
You know, you used to be able to just have a raven.
It's true.
Also, I kept thinking of Reginald Bell Johnson as Carl.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
I mean, it's unusual that both of his most famous roles are cops.
Yes.
Yeah, and like
I did actually watch a lot of Family Matters back when it was on in the day.
How much earlier was Die Hard?
So I was like, hey, it's Carl. I knew he was in it, but...
It's really easy to imagine it's the same guy, like he just went and witnessed relocation because...
It's true.
Yes.
Like he was involved with a massive shift.
Although he does call him in Die Hard 2.
Yeah.
For basically no reason other than, hey, let's get Reginald Bell Johnson back in this one.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, like, plot-wise, but give me some money.
Now, the only problem is, I don't think they could have found a guy to play Ellis in the cast of It's a Wonderful Life, because they hadn't invented cocaine yet.
I was going to say the guy who played that Sam guy who, like, went off and became a plastics investor.
Oh, yeah, May. Oh, yeah.
But, yes. The cocaine.
What about the guy that steals the candy bar?
Oh, well, we didn't have Asian people in movies yet. Or if we did, they were played by, like, Katharine Hepburn.
I do like that back in the day, you could just, like, have a pet raven. And it was fine. He had a pet squirrel, too.
You can... kind of just still have a pet raven.
No, there's like, trust me, sir, I have looked into this.
You don't have to bring them in the house. You can still have a raven.
I mean, you can befriend a raven in the wilderness, even though you're not supposed to feed. I mean, you'd get lectured about feeding wildlife, but you cannot, like, actually have it in your bank being your friend.
Well, no, in a bank, no. Can't have nothing.
Anyway, It's a Wonderful Life is a better holiday story than A Christmas Carol because it does not hinge upon the redemption of millionaires.
Of course.
How many times have you seen It's a Wonderful Life? We're going digressing a lot.
A bunch.
And I think what you really need to do is pair it with the alternate ending from that 90s episode of SNL.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember it.
And
I saw it, but I don't remember
what's the movie we did an episode on, Rob?
Oh, sorry.
Pleasantville?
Oh, Pottersville. That weird ass, like, fake Sasquatch movie with Michael Shannon?
Yes. Yes.
One of history's most terrifying actors.
I've seen that movie more than I've seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh.
I've never actually seen all of It's a Wonderful Life. I've caught most of it on TV because it was on forever back when we were kids.
And yet it's not that way anymore. And it's on, like, once a year, and then it's probably streaming somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because for a while...
the copyright had lapsed.
You'll Shoot Your Eye Out took over its place.
Oh, Christmas Story, yes. Also a good one.
Yes.
Anyway.
Mostly better.
But yes.
I'm ready to Cyberverse.
Yes.
Yes, Cyberverse.
All right, hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberverse podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
It's time to be festive. I'm David.
That's right. This is not exactly a special Christmas episode. In fact, by the time you watch this or listen to this, you're...
No, that Yeah, this will come. This might come out on Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Depending upon editing speed.
Yeah. So by the time you listen to this, there's a good chance that your fridge will be full of your tree will be empty, and your fridge will be full of leftover turkey and or Chinese food.
Turkey or ham.
Or ham for those for if you're still kind of weirdo, sure.
Tofurkey.
You know, it's a thing. I've never had Chinese food turkey.
Maybe, I mean, they probably don't
like General Tso's
have
turkey.
Like, aren't turkeys, like, notably North American?
North American, yes. How, lots of Chinese food you get at a Chinese food restaurant are North American.
Well,
so.
Sure, but maybe it doesn't, like, fry up as well.
Probably not. It's greasy.
Anyway,
but they do
duck, we're doing Cyberverse
yes.
this week. Still.
Yes.
Even though last week it genuinely felt like the season was over and we should be moving back to Rescue Bots Academy. No. No, we're not.
Not quite yet.
And then we're not ending this week either.
No,
it's just going to keep going. We're just picking up a whole new plot out of nowhere.
It's like the Return of the King here.
Yeah, I told you this. I told you in advance that this series has no idea when the seasons begin or end because they use their special parts to make their robot friends.
I would say that, like, this, like, new plot arc, at least I think where it's going, seems to follow the previous one, but no, it doesn't, because why are we doing this?
I mean,
well,
I,
now we have
I
to.
I don't understand why they're going to Cybertron.
Reasons.
Yes, because first off, we are going to escape from Earth.
Because of reasons.
A reason that I feel like isn't in this episode. Because I don't know why.
A reason that is not actually stated at any point in time.
Nope.
So this is the 13th episode of the second season. First aired in November 30th, 2019. Written by... NB Transformer Superstar May Cat.
Yay!
Who fortunately went on to work on a much better show with Earthspark.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we open.
I mean, well, the episode is well enough written. I just don't know why. There's scene missing before this episode. I feel like there's an episode missing.
Like I said, the real fault here, I think, lies with the story editing.
Yes.
So we open up, and Optimus Prime is having a freaky dream. He's like falling. He's having to make a speech without pants. His teeth are falling out.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a very obvious, oh, this is a dream as soon as it starts up.
It's a very, like, Five Faces of Darkness, Rodimus short-circuiting himself to go into the Matrix kind of dream.
Yeah, and then Alpha Trion's there, and he tries to turn around, but, like, both sides of him are back.
Ooh, freaky dreams.
And Optimus spins him around like a dozen times before he finally gets it. It's like, you're in a dream, dude.
Look, there's time to fill in this episode.
Anyway, we're back in the real world. Prime is kind of like slightly back to life after he's still in a coma, but he's sort of in the like first couple scenes of Kill Bill where maybe his toes are wiggling a little. So we're on the Ark. We've got Starscream in custody after putting it into his death cult in the last episode.
He's just in jail. He's just in
again,
the brig.
I kind of forgot he was still alive.
Yeah.
Which, it might be on me. I just, like, assumed, like, oh, he's dead.
No, he...
And they didn't, like, Megatron didn't carry him off or anything.
No.
The Autobots have him.
Yeah, he got the Duke treatment.
Yeah.
Well, Megatron fell into a giant hole in the ground.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
And no one else wanted him.
So it's
Shockwave wasn't going to step up.
So Ratchet is trying to diagnose him, and he concludes that it must be some sort of magic bullshit.
Yeah. Also, Ratchet's voice is really boring and generic, and it's...
Yeah, I really, really don't like it. It
could be better.
He sounds like he should be in a comedy, and that doesn't feel like any Ratchet. Well, okay, animated was funny because he was a grumpy old man.
I mean, we've already been spoiled.
This feels like Ratchet who's just trying to play in a comedy. We've been spoiled for really good Ratchets for a long time.
I mean, even from the first year, he had Don Messick, Papa Smurf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Scooby-Doo. And I guess...
Jeffrey Combs.
We had Jeffrey Combs. We had Corey Burton. Even in the movies, we had Robert Foxworth.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he's good enough for Samantha from Bewitched, he's good enough for your Transformers movies. Also a man who will be in your mid-budgeted 90s science fiction TV show.
Yes. Happy to do it.
Yep. But this guy is a guy.
Yeah, he's just a guy.
So
again, not a bad voice, just a very inappropriate voice. Oh, wait, no, that's a different series that we need to complain about.
So in his absence, inexplicably, Hot Rod is in charge.
Yeah, I did notice that everybody was just, like, deferring to Hot Rod. It's like, sure, okay, anyone competent?
I mean, again, this might be like a scene missing where he tried to like pass the mantle leadership onto him. You'd think it would be Prowl or Ratchet or Windblade.
It's an appointment that makes sense outside of continuity, not inside continuity.
Yeah.
No, it makes sense if you've seen Transformers the movie.
Yes.
If you've read IDW comics.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, but good news, Prime left behind a plan for what to do if you find the Allspark. I assume he left it in the series like videotapes, like Jamie Kennedy in Scream 3. Alright, so you found yourself in the latter half of a Transformer season.
Here's what you do.
Now be warned, you might have to sell some new toys.
That happens.
But no, they've got a plan. They're going to launch... They've got five shuttles, and they do kind of look like the Ark shuttle from Beast Wars.
Yeah, they do. Kinda, I mean, it's a good shuttle design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like something designed by the same people who designed the Ark.
Yes. And we've got five guys who are going to pilot them. You got Prowl. You got Bumblebee. With Cheetor, because they're both dumb enough that it takes two of them to operate the shuttle.
Are they like a thing now? Is Beetor a ship that I should have to be aware of?
Beetor,
Beesnator? I think Beetor is one of the Dura sisters on Next Generation.
But yes, I don't know why they have to be together, but yes, it's probably because that way it guarantees that at least one of them has the brain cell.
Also, I'm going to go with Bumble Chi myself.
Bumble Chi.
That's good. That's a good one.
That is a better ship name. Not a good Transformer name, but...
Anyway, so you got these two. You got Windblade, you got Jetfire, and you've got... Lieutenant Ricky.
What is this guy?
It's very weird. Like, first thought was like, oh, that's Ironhide. Wait, why are bits of him glowing green? And he identifies himself as Red 5.
Red 5?
Which, he's Luke Skywalker?
Yes. I mean, I feel that's a Luke Skywalker reference, and it's also kind of a reference to the, like, Star Trek red shirts.
Yes.
Yeah, honestly, I was very surprised. My first note was, well, he's gonna die.
Yes, it was like...
So I was honestly surprised, spoilers for 5 minutes from now, he doesn't die.
Not even that far. Like, my notes are, Ironhide sounds like a child. Next, Porkins, no! Because we're doing a Star Wars.
Stay on target.
I don't know what's going on with this guy. I don't know why he's not like Wheeljack or someone that we know.
Yeah, it is very weird. Well... I guess because when he first blows up, obviously, we don't assume that everyone else is going to blow up.
I guess. Yeah, and he is the first one who appears to be blown out of the sky.
If I ever do like somehow cameo in a Star Wars movie, I definitely want to be like a guy who's in a pilot seat and then gets to say something like, I can't shake him! And then a bunch of fireworks go off behind me.
Yeah. And then
it cuts
to
me exploding in the vacuum of space.
Yes. That is so the ideal Star Wars guest star role.
Yes. So either that or like weird alien drinking in space bar.
Yes.
Well, but then you're a puppet, unless you're in light makeup.
Well, I don't know. It could just be like a devil man or like that guy with the like 70s sideburns.
Yeah.
I think they added a sideburns guy out. That
a guy with the scrotum face.
That's one thing that annoys me about mostly about the more recent Star Wars stuff. It's like, they're not reusing the old aliens. They keep making up new ones. It's like, new ones are fine, but what about, where's the devil guy? Where's the werewolf? Although,
they did bring
the werewolf guy back in Skeleton Crew, so.
We need to have a, like, really dramatic, thought-out whole subplot involving the Wolfman homeworld.
Man, do you think they're all like regular guys, and then every night they alternate to werewolves?
That would be amazing.
No, but that would be funny. Oh God, there is a werewolf race in Star Wars that like, I think the wolf is either their adult form or their larval form or some nonsense.
Oh yeah, that's I unfortunately remember that one. That's from one of the novels.
Yes,
and yeah, the wolves, and then they grow up, and then they turn into like just guys with forearms.
Or wings or something?
The plan is
Star, I think. Ugh, one of the real bad ones.
So they're sending up five shuttles. One of them has the Allspark, the other four are decoys. But there's a good chance that they're all going to get killed. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, there is indeed a big space battle here, and Red 5 is indeed reporting in to die.
Yeah.
And then... So they kill that guy, and you're like, okay. Well, I mean, that guy was obviously created to die. But then they kill Prowl, and it's like, oh, well, Prowl hasn't been in this much, but he's still kind of a big dude to kill off.
Yeah, you can't be killing Prowl yet.
But then a bunch of them get killed until we see they shoot down the Bumblebee and Cheetor shuttle, and they have to kind of, like, badly fake being killed.
Yes.
And then it turns out they were all just remote-controlled. And the actual Allspark is on the Ark, which then blasts off.
Out of the volcano.
Ha ha.
Yep.
Somehow making a 90-degree turn to get out.
Yep. I mean, magic. You didn't hear it. There was like a scene where it's like back and out of there. It's like beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep.
Come on, use the backup camera.
Oh, God, it's I love the backup camera.
Quantum something or other. I love having a backup camera.
Many things about my new Subaru, the backup camera is so good. I might actually try parallel parking one of these days.
Ooh.
Got two people here who only got modern vehicles within the last few years.
Yeah.
We're like, oh yeah, backup camera.
GPS, backup cameras, a whole kit and caboodle.
Welcome to the 21st century.
I like it. I don't want a lot of electronic shit in my house, but in my car, yes please.
So anyway, the Decepticons pretty quickly figure out that the Allspark is not actually on any of the shuttles they blew up.
What do they? Do they?
Well, Shockwave is like the Allspark is not aboard any of the destroyed shuttles.
Oh, but they don't detect
its energy signature in any of the wreckage. They're wait a minute, it was never here.
Yes, but the only person who actually figures this out is Skybite, and that's a real... Ooh, Skybite's the one who figured this out? Ooh, that's a rough one.
Ugh.
Skybite isn't even there. He just sort of appears and starts attacking the Ark.
And I can't quite figure out, like, is he doing, like, an old actor impression? He kind of sounds like Dr. Smith, but it's not quite Dr. Smith.
It is probably some actor impression.
If only Jonathan Harris were still with us.
I mean, he'd be, like, 110 years old now.
Yeah... And go rewatch Visionaries.
Oh, the pain. The pain.
Oh, no!
I mean, I will say that we could certainly use somebody who hates robots as much as Dr. Smith these days.
Yes!
Every time somebody tries to, like, use an AI, he calls them a... You calamitous conflagration of bits and bolts.
Calamitous clankers.
William, remove this AI from my sight!
I do feel like that would be a good way to go with the Skybite voice.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of... It's like a very sort of mid-Atlantic, like mid-century actor voice. It's a little Vincent Price, but I'm not quite sure what it is. And one thing, it's kind of, was it Billy DeWolf, who was in the seasonally appropriate Frosted Snowman cartoon playing the magician.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of that voice. Oh, messy, messy, messy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So he busts in. He is,
I have questions. So he busts in through, the windshield.
Uh-huh.
Yes, which means that the cabin decompresses. Oh, right. It doesn't matter worth anything. They're robots. They don't need atmosphere.
Or it's a thing where they've got, a force field, like in Star Trek.
I mean, they also kick him out through the same way, so...
Yes.
No, I don't know if these Star Trek force fields are permeable in the same way.
But they're robots. They don't need atmosphere.
They are when the plot allows.
It's fine.
Okay, but then... In the next episode, there's going to be a point where there's fire. And for fire, you need oxygen.
Well, okay, yeah, there should have been, a gust of decompression, but that's too much to animate.
So, is there a vacuum in the ship, or is there an atmosphere in the ship?
There should be atmosphere just for convenience, because...
Yeah,
trying to maintain a vacuum.
Like,
they wouldn't have done that when they were still parked in the volcano, and there's no reason to dump the air. It's just sitting there.
Yeah. I mean, unless you'd be worried about the humidity causing corrosion or something. But, I mean, on one hand, yes, I realize that unless it's... I mean, I assume that Energon does not require oxygen for combustion. We've had different... approaches to whether Transformers need any kind of oxygen or air or atmosphere.
Well, unless
but...
they're making fire. I mean, if in Beast Wars, if they said, "Oh, we need oxygen and some kind of air," fine, I'll believe that. They got squishy bits, but anybody
because they
else...
have organic parts.
Well, I mean, they do because there are. There are times when like in that episode where they all go blind. They're washing up from the beach and they're sort of coughing and sputtering.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in Transformers the movie, Galvatron's trying to choke Hot Rod.
Yeah. I mean, one could argue that he's trying to pop his head off, but no, I think he's trying to choke him. It does seem like he's actually trying to choke him, but...
And it's possible Galvatron is also just crazy.
It just seems weird that Skybite just shatters their windshield and there are no repercussions. There's no... depressurization or anything.
The answer is we don't have the budget for it.
I guess. It's not acknowledged in any way that it might be a problem that their hull has been compromised in space.
No.
Yeah.
And that seems there could be a shield that goes up, but there could have been. It's not acknowledged if there is.
No.
And then, like I said, in the next episode, there's fire.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of questions and concerns.
It's not that important. It's a minor thing, but it's a slightly annoying.
It's important to me.
I have a better thing.
As an unemployed editor, it's important to me because that's something I absolutely would have tagged in a story that I was working on.
I got a better thing. After they kick Skybite back out, there's an alert or something, and they mentioned something about 32 decks. How? How big is this ship?
It's real big.
It makes sense that they have, 32 decks in, the Starship Enterprise, because it's very vertical. There's the middle of it. But this is kind of a flat pancake of a spaceship. If there's 32 decks, this thing is 10 miles long.
Yeah, I believe... I mean, on one hand, I recall it being said somewhere that the Lost Light was 5 miles long. But on the other hand, this thing was crashed into a volcano on Earth.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the Lost Light is way bigger than any previous Transformers ship.
Yes.
Admittedly, most of them don't give measurements. Trying to figure out how big the Ark and the Nemesis are is very hand-wavy, a mile, maybe, question mark?
So yeah, that's the fact that it has been crashed into a volcano on Earth and didn't like completely destroy the volcano in the process.
Yeah, because like okay, even if we're saying like 30 decks, and that's got to be robot tall.
Yes,
robots are at least 5 times bigger than people.
It's got to be transformer sized.
So this thing is really thick, despite being a pancake.
Yes.
So Skybat pretty quickly gets swatted away, but that's given the Nemesis enough time to catch up, and it is just smoking the arc. But it's a good thing that we have a big magical Transformers MacGuffin.
It's important.
So
it's important to have.
But it like Starscream has to find a comm and say, "Hey guys, you know, use the MacGuffin that I had like a couple episodes ago.
Did you consider using the AllSpark to fix all your problems?"
So they do so. They're headed for the space bridge. You know, it fixes the ship. They're going for this space bridge. And then,
Shockwave.
Yeah, Shockwave is, well, at least we can't let them use the space bridge. So we'll blow this space bridge up.
Yeah.
But the good news is Prime is now out of his coma. So he is taking his place in command of the Autobots. And we're headed into deep space.
We'll go the long way. We're not going to take the highway.
Yes.
The scenic route to Cybertron.
We'll just take the surface roads.
But oh, good news for the bad guys, because that space bridge, it's still around. That was a hologram.
Oh.
Yeah, because Megatron's pissed off. It's like, you blew up the fucking space bridge. Shockwave's, no. Holograms. Not normally magic. My thing, but I did it.
He's doing magic tricks.
So that is it for the space bridge, and that is it for the Autobots, and that is it for this episode. We now move on to Party Down, which sadly does not involve a coterie of unsuccessful Hollywood caterers led by Adam Scott.
What?
It's a good show.
Okay.
I have not seen that show.
It's good.
I was thinking about, like, various party songs, not that. Like, I was trying to place the one Daft Punk song that has Party Down in it repeatedly, but it turns out it just sounds like Party Down. It's a different song. I just misheard lyrics.
Again, we are still not at the end of the season. The season is continuing on somehow.
Yeah, like, the trip back to Cybertron could have been, again, another fine ending to this season.
Nope.
Now we have a bridge episode that takes place mostly off the bridge.
So we are en route back to Cybertron. We've escaped the Decepticons, and we are partying down.
Boogie on down. This episode
is by David Rich, a Transformers newcomer. Mm-hmm. First aired December 7th, 2019. Then we open Star Trek style with Prime's log.
Prime's log.
Most of the ship fell off, and nobody likes me. So he's called down for an emergency, but unfortunately for him, it is not an emergency. It is a surprise party.
He does not know what to do.
No, it's like...
He's not quite as awkward as Prime from Prime, where he did not want to listen to a joke, but...
He just very politely declined.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, speech. And unfortunately, this is kind of asking a little too much of this guy who voices Optimus Prime, who doesn't do so well with, you know, inflection.
I liked him saying, "We will triumph over enjoy this party."
It is intentionally supposed to be a bad speech, and it might be the worst Prime speech, but yeah, it's...
He is trying his best, but he is extremely bad at this kind of thing.
Oh, but hey, good news, everybody gets a badge.
Yay! Wheeljack has handed out badges.
Handing out badges to Blue Ironhide and Red 5 and Yellow Ironhide. Why are there so many Ironhide models?
Because.
I don't know.
And yet no actual Ironhide?
I mean, he's just kind of like a square guy.
It's just good to have a square guy around.
But it does feel weird to have, like, Autobot generics, and at least have them, like, all be the same mold that says the guy who has, like, six different sideswipes.
I appreciate that Rack and Ruin is still continuing to just wander around being a guy who's two guys.
He's just there.
Mm-hmm.
Not having, like, a character, like, major character moment or anything. He's just this guy there who has lines.
He just happens to be around doing things.
So yeah, we've got this this Energon emitter. It's you know, and they're gonna emit energies 10 times more powerful than normal Energon, which is great.
I think so. Cheetor is asking Wheeljack about this, and he asks if that is wise. And I think if Cheetor is asking you if something is wise, you should perhaps rethink your choices.
Yes.
That's, you may be making some bad decisions.
Yeah.
Oh, they start playing music, and it's, I don't know what genre it is. Like, it's somewhere between polka and RPG town music.
Yeah.
It's very polka-esque.
It's sort of festive, but not a party song.
I mean, it's party if it's, you know, Oktoberfest, I guess.
Yeah. Have an Oktoberfest.
So, you know, everybody's partying down, except for Starscream, who is still in jail.
Yes, he is in prison.
Yep.
But thanks to an accidental trip, he does get a party favor.
Yes, he does.
From who's it? Is it Rack
and Ruin? Rack and Ruin.
Yeah. It turns out that
I would still like to know if Rack and Ruin use plural they/them pronouns.
Well, I guess the problem with Rack and Ruin is that I feel that he doesn't have twice the body mass of most guys, but he's drinking twice the amount of beer because he has two heads.
Yeah, I'm guessing he is a they/them because he gets two of those little badge emitter things.
Yeah.
He does, and two drinks.
Yes, and anyway, he just straight up drops one of these into the cell here, which is not good.
Yeah. So now Starscream has one.
Yes.
He's got a party favor.
So as the party goes on, these things start flashing red.
Ooh.
And it's like, oh, here's your problem here, pal. You set this one to evil.
Oops.
So, you know, Optimus is just not partying. He's the guy who kind of, like, goes off onto a balcony to smoke or whatever during the party.
Or, in this case, outside of the ship.
Except he's Optimus Prime, so of course he is also... So, of course, he's also not smoking.
But he's got smokestacks. He could do it.
Just emitting smoke.
Wait, does this version have smokestacks? I forget.
He does have smokestacks.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's like, so Teletran X summons him, and he's like, there is an emergency. To which Prime says, yeah.
Also,
pull the other
Cheetor one. Cheetor goes out onto the ship, on the outside of the ship with him, and they're just, like, hanging out for a minute. And I'm like, yep, just hanging out on the outside of the ship in space.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot the emojis of the episodes.
Ooh.
I should look those up real quick.
Escape from Earth is Milky Way emoji, which I guess there's one of those. It's very small and busy for an emoji.
I was wondering what that was.
And Party Down SOS.
Ooh.
That one works.
Okay.
Which, again, is another... Well, it's an emoji that makes sense. It's like pink or something. It's an odd color.
It's red.
It was red?
I mean, they vary from operating system to operating system.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Teletran X is like, yeah, you guys better come out here. And Prime's like, yeah, I'll pull the other one. But indeed, it turns out that everybody is just beating the crap out of each other.
I like that. I think it's Cheetor who asks or suggests that perhaps the Earth music is too powerful. Which, I mean... I could see something, but not what they're listening to. Not this music.
Not this song. No, if they cranked Instruments of Destruction or something.
Mm. Yes, then the Earth music might be too powerful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're getting too head up.
Cold Slither!
Ooh.
Speaking of which, that was a Christmas present to myself.
Yay! That gift set.
Yeah, the Cold Slither gift set. Because, like, I've kind of always wanted the Dreadnoughts, but, like, then you have to get them individually, and, like, two of them come out, and the third one's, like, it hasn't come out yet, or it's already come out, and it's expensive as fuck. Mm-hmm. No, this is the entire main group, plus Zartan, and they're in their Cold Slither uniforms. It's like, fuck yes, I'll spend that for Christmas.
They did just re-release Torch, but yeah, that's still fair.
I know, but I don't need an extra one. And then I got a couple of other guys who are just, oh, here's a Cobra soldier with an animal. That works.
Yes.
Like, whatever his name is with the boar, Naugahyde.
Yes, Naugahyde.
Or is Naugahyde the guy's name?
I believe that's the guy's name, yes.
That was the boar's name. And the scorpion dude, because I saw a picture of the scorpion guy with Quick Strike, and it's like, fuck, I need both of them. Yeah. And now I have both of them.
That is not an appropriate size for a scorpion to be. I don't think they can technically be that large.
I think it's supposed to be a robot scorpion, question mark?
Okay, that's allowable.
Get over here!
Or the original toy was? I don't know.
Anyway.
Anyway, so obviously this is, of course, Starscream's fault. So they go down there and he's like, LOL.
Like I said, Grimlock shows up and he starts, like, breathing fire and the fire's all over the floor. And I'm like, but in the last episode, sure seemed like the ship was a vacuum.
Well, at least the cabin, or the bridge didn't have air, but the hallways do? Maybe there's a pressurizing thingy. It might need to have some air.
I mean, if we're
right-clicking add comment to this manuscript.
if we're wondering how they eat and breathe and other science facts, et cetera, et cetera.
Fair.
But that's our bread and butter of wondering about these weird little things. Like, that's a good sign of this show that we're finally doing that instead of saying, why doesn't Bumblebee remember shit? I don't care.
Why does Optimus keep saying things like Cybertron and Teletron?
So Starscream has hacked the Allspark energy emitter, and now it's flooding the Autobots with energy, and now they're all going crazy.
Yeah, yep. So it's a mini hate plague.
So they've got to smash their way to the other side of the ship. There's a pretty cool bit here where Prime is in, like, truck mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plowing over people, but putting up, like, a Autobot-shaped force shield in front of himself, which I'm not...
I think he's used that as a shield before, as, like, a sword and shield kind of shield.
Yeah, as a shield. In robot mode, but not in vehicle mode. Yeah,
it is pretty cool that he's got an Autobot symbol-shaped energy shield.
I would love a toy that does that, like, has a, like, translucent shield you can plug into the front of it. But is that to protect his grill, or to help smack Autobots?
I assume it's to help smack things. It's like a battering ram.
Yeah.
So they get in there, and Teletran X is all over. So this is a complicated process to shut down this thing. Step one, Optimus Prime just smashes it.
Yes.
And also that...
Also, in the process of all this, I would like to note that Drift shows up again for the first time since season one.
And is Drift this time instead of as Deadlock?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, when the Deadlock, that was a flashback, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was one of Bumblebee's flashbacks to, like, him first defecting from the Decepticons.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of weird people. Well, besides the multiple Ironhides of the many Benetton colors of Ironhide, there's a Perceptor or some. There's a couple of little blink and you miss it other than Drift.
Yeah, Perceptor was there. He was there, I think, at the beginning of the party. I do enjoy some Perceptor.
Apparently that was a mistake.
Really?
Yes.
He's a mistake.
He wasn't supposed to be in the scene.
Yeah, I can see that. Having seen the entire series, yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
We made a new model. Put it on the ship. It's not supposed to show up yet until they get to Cybertron. Oh, well.
And anyway, I like that it just catches on fire. It kind of reminds me of what went on, like, Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Whenever anybody tossed something to the ground, it would catch on fire.
Yeah. Things just spontaneously so combusting is fine.
Listen, Optimus Prime is 30 or 40 years old, and he does not need this.
Yes. So yes, he punches it. That's it.
Yeah. So
it's taken care of. The thing that was siphoning energy from the AllSpark is now taken care of.
So now the Autobots must come together, and Optimus Prime must make the ultimate sacrifice, by which I must do a goofy dance.
Yes. He does. I will note the robot. That Rodimus and Drift are standing together for the IDW heads.
Yes. And so we're just hucking these badges out the airlock, and we're heading off to Cybertron, where, unbeknownst to us, the Decepticons are probably waiting for us.
Dun, dun, dun. Aw, man, it should be... There needs to be, like, a Beast Machine situation going on.
Where they Megatron get there comes and... with a big cloak.
I mean, the thing
They get there, and Megatron has already taken everything over, because he got there long ago because of time stream shenanigans.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, that would happen, and then that would take, like, two episodes. And then we'd be on to another thing before the end of the season.
Yeah. Pacing's not great. You know who's a good story editor? It was Eric Rogers from Micronauts.
Yep.
Yeah, I like the idea of the Autobots taking the long way to get to Cybertron. You can fuck around for a few episodes, have a mini arc there. But, like, the Starscream shit felt like the end of the season. That was a
it did.
Big threat.
It really
it was escalation,
did.
And then it just keeps going.
It absolutely did. That felt like the plot, and then it was over, and then, like, they noticed that they had some episodes left over. It's like, crap, yeah, now what?
It could work, like, as an old mid-season thingy. It could work, but it was such escalation that he was about to kill everyone.
Yeah. Nope, that's it. That plot's over. It's taken care of. It's wrapped up. Go home.
It was crazy and interesting. I feel it wasn't as bad as Prime starting out with the first season ending with Unicron. That was too big. That was the end of the season, yes.
At least that was the end of the season, and it wasn't like...
It's a little of column A, a little column B. That was too much escalation for the first season, but it was the end of the season. This is too much escalation for the middle of the season, it just wasn't as bad as Unicron.
Yeah.
Anyway, next week... next week will be Gundam, because it should be January... By the time the next one comes out.
G-Quucks! Time for G-Quucks! I have found places where I can purchase G-Quucks models in person, and I am in danger.
Yeah.
Alright, well, that is it for these episodes, of course. We'll be back with more Cyberverse next week, or possibly with our Gundam sideshow, Superhuman Samurai Cyberpod.
Gundamu.
It was in our Patreon episode, which should come out before this.
Yes.
I've been a little behind.
Hopefully.
It'll be out.
Patreon should be out by Christmas, because it is a Christmas special.
The Patreon will definitely be out before Christmas. I'm just not sure when this episode drops.
That's fair. That's fair.
And that...
So, Rob, do this feel.
Yes. So of course, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Blue Sky, we are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is at patreon.com/IaconUnderground. For as little as $1 a month, you get access to our monthly special episodes. They are super fun. We always pick out something either that we really want to talk about or which we really want to be upset about. For October, for instance, that Tomb of Dracula movie, which was definitely a thing that happened somehow. but on the other hand, still very good episode. Good to talk about on sort of slog to watch. Actually, not a slog, because things just kept happening.
Things just keep happening. Like, it isn't good, but it's all utterly fascinating.
But we always, and for December, attention. We like to delve into the ever-increasing bag of holiday specials. And this year, we got a brand new one, because when that Micronauts series dropped over the summer, and by dropped, I mean leaked, there was a Christmas episode. So yes, we are watching the Micronauts Christmas episode for the December Patreon. I am very glad. I'm always happy to make people watch more Micronauts.
Yes, over the holiday season, watch some Micronauts. It's on YouTube.
It is. It is still on YouTube.
And not legally available anywhere, because it never actually came out.
Yes. Nope. Yeah.
So it's free for all.
I mean, that's...
It belongs to the people.
That's the good part. It does. It truly belongs to the people. Also, if you enjoy it, Eric Rogers would definitely like to hear about it on Blue Sky. Because he's really enjoying people actually finally getting to see this thing that he put a great deal of effort into. So yeah, we talk about that and about the dangers of being the toy that everyone wants for Christmas. And also what Obi's stomach is doing with all that candy. So yeah, that is on our Patreon. That is patreon.com/IaconUnderground. Did we pick anything for January yet?
Unless we figure out something else. Superman, I think.
Okay, I think we're doing Superman, great. And then I think we're doing something for Wonder Man the next month.
Yes, something Wonder Man adjacent.
Yes.
So yeah, those
are
always...
A cartoon that I really like.
Good. One that you really like this time and not one that you just want to subject people to.
Yes, not one that I'm going to inflict upon you.
Like when we did that that Avengers cartoon with the Salem 7.
Avengers!
That was bad. That was real bad. Or the Fantastic Four cartoon from the 90s.
No, the Fantastic Four one was way, way worse.
What time is it?
The Salem 7 was just perplexing.
But yes, that is patreon.com/IaconUnderground.
All right. So until next time, when this season is somehow not over, I'm Rob.
Still got four episodes. I'm Jen. Or is it two?
And I'm David.
I think it's four. It's too many.
What incarnation?
We'll be right back.